ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। न वयम् त्वामरे दैत्यः सिद्ध गंधर्व चारणे नास्पृष्ट पूर्वां जानीमो लोकेशेश्च कुतो निभिः। न इट इज नॉट वयम् वी त्वा ऑन टू यू अमरहे by the demigods, dityahi, by the demons, siddha, by the siddhas, gandharva, by the gandharvas, charane, and by the charanas, na, not, asprishta purvam, never enjoyed or touched by anyone, janimaha, know exactly, lokaishahe, by the virtuous directors of the universe, cha, also, kutaha, what to speak of, nibihi, by human society. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. What to speak of human beings, even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandharvas, charanas, and the various directors of the universe, the Prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Purport. Even the Asuras observed the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanakya Pandit says, Matravat Paradareshu, one should consider another's wife to be one's mother. The Asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, and the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore, they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, had come there to find a husband among all those present, the Daityas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on. Umagyana Tivinandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam श्री गुरुन वैष्णवांश श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगन रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण. सो विसन सिस्टर महाराज एंड ऑल द सीनियर वैष्णवस प्रेजेंट हियर. सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग द टॉपिक द चैप्टर लॉर्ड इनकार्नेट्स एज मोहिनी मूर्ति. So this entire episode of churning of the milk ocean is quite dramatic. We are seeing many events that have taken place. And in today's verse, we are seeing that how Mohini Murti, when she has appeared, you know, she is so beautiful. When the Lord assumes the form of a woman, Mohini Murti, she is the most beautiful. It is said even Mohini Murti, she is even more beautiful than Lakshmi Devi herself. Right? Because Krishna is all attractive, right? All opulences are there in Krishna. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, right? So he's the most opulent, he's the most beautiful, the strongest, right? So he's the most beautiful. So when he takes the form of a woman, there can be no one more attractive than Krishna. He's always attractive, whether he's in the form of Krishna or in the form of Mohini Murti. But especially in the form of Mohini Murti, demons are not so much attracted by Krishna's beauty as Krishna as he is. But when Krishna took the form of Mohini Murti, even demons became attracted so much. And here that's why the demons are telling her that why have you come here, you know, like it looks like no one has ever touched you before. Are you here to find some husband? So indirectly they are saying that we are the best husband. I am the best candidate so that you can choose me as your husband. So this is today's verse and purport. And Srila Prabhupada here in the purport quotes Chanakya Pandit's verse, Matravat paradareshu paradarveshu loshtavrat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yah pasyati sa panditah. So this Chanakya Pandit's, this particular quotation, Srila Prabhupada has often quoted everywhere, saying that a learned man is not someone who has big degrees from universities, but who has these three qualities. What are they? Matravat para dareshu. That means he looks at other women as his mother. That's the first quality. Second, para darveshu loshtavrat. That means whatever belongs to others, he looks at them as pebbles and stones. That means he's not attracted. Because he knows that this doesn't belong to me, this belongs to someone else. And third is atmavat sarva bhuteshu. He treats others in the same way he wants himself to be treated. Or, you know, for example, like I don't want to get hurt, or the way I want myself to be treated. A person treats, a learned man treats others also in the same way. Right? But today, unfortunately, I mean, the most educated people have the opposite of all these three qualities. That's unfortunately today's situation where, you know, everyone is, there's so much illicit relationship in the society today. And people are always greedy for others' position, right? People can't tolerate other person's property. They're always eager to take that. And they don't treat others in a compassionate way. Right? They want themselves to be treated very nicely, but when it comes to treating others, they're very harsh towards them. So this is what is very important. Matravat paradarishu. Prabhupada often told this, that this is a very important fundamental principle of Vedic civilization, that one considers other women as mother. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us to address other women as Mataji. Now, sometimes when women from outside, they feel offended if you call them Mataji. Because they feel Mataji is for very elderly women. But no, Srila Prabhupada says even young women we should address as Mataji. Once I was hearing Prabhupada said, Behenji is not Vedic culture. In today's modern times, you see politicians and others, they address women as Behenji. But Srila Prabhupada says, not Behenji, Mataji. That's our Vedic culture. We call other as Mataji, mother. So this is today's verse. So I'll just a little bit take out some important points from this entire beautiful pastime of churning of the milk ocean. So actually, if you see that Lord has helped in so many forms in this whole pastime. Right? Let's begin with, you know, how this pastime it began here. That the demons, I mean Indra was cursed by Durvasa and he lost all his opulences, and demons they attained heaven, and then demigods they were very much aggrieved and sad. So Brahma, they approached Brahma, and then Brahma said, don't worry, let's go to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And as soon as they went to Lord Vishnu, he gave them this proposal of this churning of ocean. He said, you make a temporary peace with the demons, and both of you together, you churn the milk ocean. So this whole strategy or advice was given by Lord Vishnu himself. And then what happened? They both, Indra approached Bali Maharaj, and they both signed a pact, right, or agreement, and they started this whole endeavor. But to churn, imagine, how do you churn yogurt? We need a churning rod and something to churn with, right? So imagine you have to churn the entire milk ocean. So how much big rod you need? So therefore, the whole Mandara mountain was, Mandara mountain was supposed to become the churning rod. But how do you carry such a big mountain? So all the demons, demigods, they tried and they failed. You know, the mountain fell on them, so many died. And then Krishna personally came, and with one hand, he lifted the Mandara mountain and kept it on the back of Garuda and brought it and put it in the ocean. Just like Krishna lifted Govardhan, here you have another pastime, Krishna lifting Mandara hill, Mandara Parvat. But here, Krishna put that Mandara Parvat on his car or Garuda, right? Just like we keep some big thing in our, the back of the car. So Krishna picked up with his left hand the Mandara mountain and kept it on Garuda and brought it to the milk ocean and put it there. And then the demons and demigods started churning. But such a big mountain, what will naturally happen? The mountain started sinking in the ground, because below the ocean is also ground, right? So when they started churning, and what was that rope? The great serpent Vasuki. And when they started churning, the mountain started going down and down, started sinking. Then again Krishna had to come in the form of Kurma Avatar, tortoise form. You see how Krishna is so merciful. He is always so much concerned about his devotees. He took the form of Kurma Avatar. Keshava Dhrita Kurma Sharira Jai Jagadishare. And here in Bhagavatam it is said, actually Krishna had a little itching sensation. When you feel some itch in your back, sometimes you take some pen or something and scratch your back. So Krishna feel little scratch, little itching sensation on his back. So for him, the whole mountain was required to mitigate his itching feeling. So Krishna took the form of tortoise. But again, when you have such a big rod, the rod was becoming disbalanced. It was falling here and there. Again, Krishna took another form and he sat on the top of the hill. So imagine Krishna brought the hill. Krishna is below in the hill, resting, giving support to the hill. The top also Krishna is there to balance the hill. And this is not enough. The demons and demigods started churning, but they could not churn with lot of force. You need to churn it fast, right? So then Krishna again took the form of Ajita and he personally started churning. Just see how much Krishna is involved, how much he is helping the demigods in every obstacle they are facing, right? So first of all, he only gave the whole plan, the whole strategy of churning the ocean. Then when they could not bring the Mandara mountain, he himself brought the Mandara mountain. When it started sinking, he took the form of Kurma Avatar, tortoise. When it was not being balanced, he took another special incarnation and sat on the top of the hill. And then he started himself churning. And then this is not enough. And then again more obstacles came. What happened? Poison came. And then Krishna again here, he gave the advice that please approach Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva drank the poison. And then so many things appeared. If you see this story, Ucheshrava horse appeared, Airavata elephant appeared, Lakshmi Devi herself appeared. Lakshmi Devi chose Lord Vishnu as her husband. And then finally, what were they all waiting for? What was the objective of churning the ocean? To get nectar. And then finally nectar came. And again, this is then final, another big obstacle. Because as soon as nectar came out, the demons, they snatched away the nectar from the hands of Dhanvantari. Again, demigods, they became so, they were distressed. What to do? Oh, again, they approached Lord Vishnu. Oh, Lord Vishnu, what to do, They work so hard for this. Now, the nectar has come and it is gone. What to do now? Again, Lord said, don't worry. And then, the Lord took the special form of Mohini Murti. Just see how the Lord is so merciful. He's taking the form of tortoise. He's taking the form of Mohini Murti. And then the Lord appeared as Mohini Murti, and as soon as the demons, they saw Mohini Murti. Okay, before this, what happened? When the nectar appeared, The demons snatched it, but then they started fighting amongst themselves. So in this entire pastime, we see that there are two very special, or not special I would say, rather two prominent qualities of, two prominent bad qualities of demons. What are they? First is the fight among themselves, and second is lust. So this is what happened. First, nectar came out, and they started fighting among themselves. Me first, there is a verse here. Aham purvam, aham purvam. In the previous chapter you will see, O king, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, you cannot drink it first, I must drink it first, me first, not you. The exact Sanskrit word is, aham purvam, natam, natvam iti prabhu. So they started fighting among themselves and said, me first. So this is what is a very special, not very special, you can say a very prominent feature of a demoniac person. Me first, always keeps himself in the center. 38, chapter 8, verse 38. This demoniac spirit that we see, it's not that demons were only there that time. We are devotees. No. Actually, if you see, for most of us, demons and demigods, both the qualities, actually both the features are there within us. It is said in the Satya Yuga, demons and demigods are in different planets, like we see, you know. And in Treta Yuga, they in the same planet but different countries, just like we had Lanka where Ravan was there and Ayodhya where Lord Ram and good saintly kings were there. And in Dwapar Yuga, in the same country but different cities, like we had Hastinapur and Indraprastha, where Pandavas and Kauravas resided. But in Kali Yuga, it is said in the same body, demons and demigod, they both reside in the same body. That means within each of us, we have both the tendencies, demoniac as well as demigod tendency, Deva and Asura. So these both qualities we have. So let us little bit discuss about these qualities, what we see here, that this me first, you know, this is something very very unique feature of a demon. They always want to put themselves in center. And this tendency is there sometimes with, you know, amongst us also, that we do some service or something, we want, I should be first, you know, that people should recognize me. This is not a divine quality, it's a demoniac quality. Krishna is recognizing each one of us. We don't have to hanker after recognition. So, I'll just tell two short stories in this regard. One is in the pastimes of, both in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually. So, one in the Mahaprakash Leela. Mahaprakash Leela was a very special Leela where usually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always in the mood of a devotee. But sometimes he exhibited that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, once he was sitting in Srivasangan and he ordered the devotees to, he said, do my Abhishek. And you know, offer me bhoga, just like we worship Krishna. So all the devotees, you know, they did a grand abhishek of Lord Chaitanya in the house of Srivas Thakur. And they brought so many pots of water, Ganges water and milk and so much offering. And that time actually they were bringing hundreds of pots of Ganges water, right? Waters from Ganga. And then devotees were doing abhishek, Nityanand Prabhu, Srivas Thakur, everyone was doing abhishek. But then there was a lady, a maid servant in the house of Srivas Thakur, who was actually bringing the pots, because you need someone to bring the pots, right? From Ganga. Everyone was busy worshipping the Lord. But this lady, she was bringing the pot for Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu recognized her. And he said, who is bringing that pots? Then they said, this maid servant, Dukhi. Then Mahaprabhu said, what? Your name is Dukhi? No, from today your name is Sukhi. You are not Dukhi, you will be called as Sukhi. And Mahaprabhu was very happy to see her mood of service. So this is something we must learn lesson from this pastime. That many devotees, you know, they get recognized, they are in the forefront. But there are many devotees who render simple, menial services. But Krishna actually recognizes both of them. Rather, he is more merciful towards those who are in the background. Just few days back, we celebrated here disappearance of Bibhu Krishna Prabhu. So, he served for so many years in this temple, I think 40 years or something. That time when this temple had recently started, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he instructed him that there were hardly any devotees here. So he was cooking 5 times a day, all the offerings for Krishna. And surely Krishna was so pleased with him. Krishna Balaram Radha Shamsan Gornitai, he left his body in Vrindavan. So like that, we have so many devotees in our movement who have done so much service, although they may not be in the forefront, but Krishna is very pleased with them. So this is one lesson that we must learn, that there is no need to put ourselves in the center or say me first. No, that is not devotee's mood. Another pastime is that how devotee doesn't run after recognition is Madhavendapuri's pastime. That when Madhavendapuri, you know this pastime, that how he was in Govardhan, he established the duty of Gopalji. Then Gopalji told him that I am feeling very hot, you bring camphor and chandan from me from Jagannath Puri. So he went all the way from Vrindavan by walking to Jagannath Puri. And then on the way he came to the temple of Gopinath. Actually it was not known as Kheershore then. So after Madhavendapuri's pastime, because he wanted to taste that Kshira, that special offering, so Gopinath came to be known as Kheershore Gopinath, because he stole a cup of special sweet rice for him. But after that, Madhavendapuri, he knew, he was afraid that now everyone will come to know this, that the Lord has stolen this sweet rice for me. And therefore he ran away from the temple. And he ran away from Ramuna. He said, no, I don't want people to know, because next day morning, thousands of people will come to me and pay their obeisances. Oh, you are such a great devotee. For you, the Lord stole sweet rice. But then Madhavendapuri, he ran from Ramuna. And he came to Jagannath Puri. But the interesting thing here is that by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, the news had already reached Jagannath Puri that he is a great devotee for whom Lord had stolen sweet rice. So this is a very special, unique relation between Krishna and devotees. So devotee doesn't want recognition, but Krishna wants his devotee to be recognized. Krishna gives him fame. Just like Srila Prabhupada Singh, you can see he had no desire for any fame of recognition, right? He just wanted to serve Krishna and fulfill the orders of his spiritual master. Who knew him when he was in India? No one. When he went to US, he was struggling hard. But still Srila Prabhupada continued with determination. And then Krishna made him famous later. And now Srila Prabhupada's fame is increasing day by day. And I'm sure in times to come, he'll be considered to be one of the greatest personalities in the history of mankind. Today is also Christmas. I was thinking, just like Jesus Christ is so famous now as a messenger of God, as a son of God. And Srila Prabhupada also praised him often. If you see purports, Srila Prabhupada never condemned Jesus Christ. He said he is a great devotee of the Lord, son of the Lord. But when Jesus Christ was there, that time people crucified him. And after some years also, it was not that he became famous soon, no. After many years, when his followers, they started preaching and the Christianity started spreading, then he had so many millions of people who followed him or who now they worship him also. Similarly, this thought came to me that maybe in future, as years pass by, more and more people, millions of them, will recognize Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? So this is what a devotee doesn't want to be recognized or doesn't want fame. He just wants to serve. This should be our mood. The moment this tendency is coming within us that I should be recognized or me first, we must immediately think that me first is which tendency? Demoniac tendency. And we should try to curb it or remove it from our heart. Just yesterday I was in Delhi, I was reading one slogan somewhere. It said, country first, party next, and self last. Like in BJP headquarters, this slogan was there. That country first, party next, and self last. So I was just thinking, we can put it in this way. Krishna first, let's say, ISKCON next, and self last. Or actually there is no difference between Krishna and ISKCON. But this mood, even outsiders, they also think that self should be last. They put country in the first position. But for us, Krishna is first and self is last. We should not put ourselves in the center. Krishna in the center. There's a very simple distinction between demon and demigods. You see here, demigods, they are not pure devotees. I mean, they also have material desires. But what is the most distinguishing thing between demons and demigods? That demigods, they always acknowledge Krishna. They always put Krishna in the center. Any difficulty they have, they approach Krishna. So this is what pleases Krishna. So this dependence on Krishna. So this is what we see from demigods. They don't have this me-first tendency so much, no. But the demons, they have very strong me-first, I am the greatest. Like if you see 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is divine and demoniac nature. So there we see that Krishna describes the divine nature in the first 2-3 verses. In the next 15 verses, he talks about demoniac nature. Why? Because mostly we have this demoniac nature. So we should recognize this demoniac nature within us and curb it. So there you will see Krishna is, you know, he says that the demons, they feel that Ishwaraham, Aham Bhogi, Siddhoham, Balwan Sukhi. The demoniac tendency is that I am the greatest, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So this is demoniac quality. I am first, right? So this Aham Purvam, I am first. Actually, another place this same shloka comes. Aham Purvam. I was just looking at it. In 10th canto, 12th chapter, the pastime of Aghasura, also we get this line, Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam. You know what happened there? In this pastime of killing of Aghasura, in the early morning, Krishna desired to go for a picnic. So he played his bugle and called all the cowherd boys and the unlimited cowherd boys. Prabhupada explains there, it's not thousands or millions, no. It's uncountable, asankhya, infinite number of cowherd boys and calves were there. And Krishna took all of them and went for a picnic. And that time, you know, when Krishna was a little far, so boys used to have competition among themselves, the cowherd boys, and they used to say, Aham Purvam, me first. But here the me first is, I want to touch Krishna first. They had a competition that who can run and touch Krishna first. So this is crucial competition. So this is that I want to be best in my service to Krishna. That is okay. But not that you become envious of others. They were not pushing each other. No, you fall down, I'll touch Krishna first. No. It was excitement. Okay, let me try and touch Krishna first. So this mood is okay. Just like Srila Prabhupada during marathon also, he encouraged competition among temples. But in a positive way. That we pray for others also. Let others also do good service. But I also put my best effort in my service to Krishna. This is positive competition. This is okay. Like the cowherd boy is running to touch Krishna first. But not in an egoistic way that I want to be greatest. No. Putting Krishna in the center. That I want to work hard for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. So that Krishna is glorified more. That should be our mood. Right? Not that I want to be the best book distributor, I want to be the best collector or whatever. No. That I want to do my best service for Krishna's pleasure. For His fame and glory to spread more. So this is what we can see, this me first tendency. And what happened as a result of this, they actually lost the nectar. Because what happened, they started fighting among themselves and Mohini Murthy came and they all, the second bad quality as I said is lust. And they all were captivated by the beauty of Mohini Murthy. They were so much enamored that they said, you come and distribute. We are completely surrendering onto you. Just like Sarva Dhanman Parita Javi surrendered to Krishna. So the demons here are surrendering to Mohini Murthy. Of course, he is Krishna only. But they don't know that. For them, she is just a beautiful woman. And they are so much attracted by her beauty that they surrender themselves fully. And this they will say now in the future verses, we'll see, whatever you want, you do. And Mohini Murthy will warn them that how can you trust a woman like me? I can cheat you. They said, no, you are joking. We have full trust on you. You will be very fair. And then what Mohini Murthy did? She said, okay, all of you take bath, you know, give in charity, be ready with fresh clothes, sit in two lines, and I'll come and distribute nectar. Then she said, okay, first let me distribute to the demigod, because you know, they are weak, you are very strong, you can wait. Small, you know, just like when you have prasadam, small boys, we give prasad first. So Mohini Murthy said, they are demigods, they are weak, let me give little nectar to them, and then I'll come and give you. But then she finished the nectar. She gave all the nectar to the demigods. And the demons were cheated. Why? Because they had so much faith on a woman. They were so much captivated. So you see, because of two qualities, they worked so hard, they got the nectar, at least they had 50% share on the nectar. But you see, two bad qualities. They fought among themselves and lust. Because of which they lost the nectar. Of course, this was Krishna's trick. I mean, This is how. You see again Krishna in the form of Mohini Murti. How he came to do favor to the demigods. And this is not the end of sorcery. After that, when the demigods drink all the nectar, that time Rahu and Ketu, the two demons, they could see, "Are this nectar will be over. I don't know whether we'll get it or not." So they went to the other row and sat down with the demigods. But then sun and moon, they recognized that here is Rahu and Ketu. And they said, "Mohini Murti, Lord, see." Then immediately Mohini Murti, she took out a Sudarshan Chakra and killed Rahu and Ketu. But because nectar touched their mouth, so the head became eternal. And therefore it is said that solar eclipse and lunar eclipse is when Rahu and Ketu, they swallow the sun and moon. That's the eclipse section. That's the actual understanding of eclipse. And then after that, naturally the demons became very angry. Said, "You demigods, you have cheated us again." And they started a fight. And again, there was a very severe fight. And because the demons, they have a lot of illusory powers, they started displaying many illusory power. And the demigods became very afraid. And again, they approached Lord Vishnu. And again, Lord Vishnu came and helped the demigods to win. So you can see so many times Lord Vishnu has come for the protection of the demigods. Right? In the beginning, in the tortoise form, in the form of top of the mountain, churning the mountain, in the form of Ajita, in the form of Mohini Murti. So many ways Krishna has appeared in this entire pastime. Why? Because he wanted to favor the demigods. So this is how Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. That even if a devotee may not be pure, like we see in the case of demigods, they're not pure devotees, but because they're dependent on Krishna, because they approach Krishna in time of difficulty, at least they are considered devotees and Krishna is happy with them. And is always ready to help the demigods. But the demons, they always depend on their own power. They don't care for God. That is demoniac tendency. They say, "I am powerful. Why I need Krishna?" That is demoniac tendency. But devotees or demigods, they always depend on the Lord. They know that whatever good qualities I have, whatever strength I have, it's ultimately coming from the Lord. And they depend on Him more in the time of difficulty. So this is again a very common theme of Bhagavatam. Whenever devotees are in difficulty, they always approach Krishna. And there is nothing wrong in that. We should not think that, we are supposed to be pure devotees. No, in times of difficulty, we approach Krishna. Yes, we should not ask Him for material favors. But when a devotee is in danger, he has no other shelter. To whom will he go? It's like Draupadi. When she approached Krishna, it is not that she was not a pure devotee. No, she is a pure devotee. But still, when she was in danger and difficulty, she had to approach Krishna. The Pandavas always did that. Whenever there was difficulty, they always called out for Krishna. When Ashwatthama released the weapon to kill the womb of, in Uttara's womb, Parikshit Maharaj, whom did Uttara take shelter of? Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. So again and again we see, in Vrindavan, whenever any demon approached, what did the Brajvasis do? Took shelter of Krishna. When there was a fire, they approached Krishna. When there was any difficulty, when Indra caused this massive rainfall, all the Brajvasis approached Krishna. "Oh Krishna, please protect us now from this great danger." So this is what is a very sweet and unique quality of a devotee, that he always approaches Krishna. No one else, but only Krishna in times of difficulty. So another story, and the opposite of demons, you see these two qualities of fighting and lust. We can see demigods or devotees, they have this cooperation spirit of cooperation, right? And calling, you can see in today's purport, Prabhupada explaining, treating other women as mother. This is supposed to be the nature of a saintly person, a demigod or a devotee. So I just heard one nice story, I'll just tell that. In one of the Bhagavatam classes, I remember, I heard this story from Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj long time back. Very nice story to say how, just to distinguish between demigods and demons. So he told that once Lord Brahma, he invited all the demons and demigods for a big feast. They say in Vrindavan Bhandara, right? Big feast. So Lord Brahma, he called the demons and demigods. And they all came, they got ready and they dressed themselves nicely and they all came. But again, as usual, demons always say, "Me first." So Brahma says, "Okay, first you take prasad, no problem." But then, as soon as they are going to eat prasad, Brahmaji said, there is one condition, that your hands will be tied. That means, you know, this hand, you cannot bend your hand. So there will be stick and your hand has to be straight. So the demon said, how will we eat? But they were so eager, they were so me first, they want to take first. Suppose your hand is straight, can you eat? What will happen when you lift your hand? So they took rice and whatever, you know, different special gulab jamuns or the special items that Lord Brahma made, and everything started falling on their head and their face and everywhere, right? You cannot eat unless you bend your hand. And they were frustrated. What is this? You know, came from long distance. We thought we'll have nice feast today, and what this condition Brahmaji has done. They're completely frustrated. And then Brahmaji said, okay, now your turn is over. Now let demigods come. And then they all went away and the demigods came. And the same thing for demigods. He tied their hands. He said, you cannot bend your hands. But what the demigods did? They cooperated and started feeding each other. Like if your hand is straight, you can still feed the person next to you. So they did that. So one demigod, he fed the other one, and the other one fed him. So in this way, by mood of cooperation, they all enjoyed nice feast. The nice story just came to my mind. Many years back, I heard from Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. I went to Mayapur once. So nice story that how to, you know, demons and demigods. Demons always have the tendency of me first, and in that way they actually lose. But you see, demigods at least have the mood of cooperation. They, okay, so I'll serve you, and this way they also get benefited. So this is what few things I wanted to share. And as I told today in the middle of the class, once again, like, you know, about Jesus Christ, that many places Srila Prabhupada praises him. And actually I just read one short search, and in very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Kirat Hinandra Pulinda Pulkasha, that verse of second canto, Kirat Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbha Yavanakha Sadaya Yenye Chacha Papayat Apashraya Shraya Shudhyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namaha. So the verse says, Kirat Huna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbha Yavana, members of the Khasa races and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to His being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. So this verse, it is said that even the most fallen people can be purified if they take shelter of the devotee of the Lord. And here in the purport, actually, Srila Prabhupada talks about Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Very interesting. I just read the two lines. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Shukadev Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization, in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty, there can be a thorough change of heart in all human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to affect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. So very nice purport. Prabhupada recognizes that Jesus Christ and Muhammad, they were powerful devotees of the Lord, but they appeared in such countries, such places where people were very degraded. They had no concept of civilization. They were doing all sinful acts, and just to raise their consciousness a little bit, you know, they had to give them what they could understand at their level. So at least they made them have some faith in God, following some basic rules and regulations. That is very, 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 very beginning. You can say, just like Prabhupada said, I mean, very simple things like 2 plus 2 is 4. Because they didn't have that consciousness to understand more. So they gave very simple facts. At least depending on that time and time, place and circumstance. But their consciousness were elevated because they took shelter of the two devotees, Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Okay, Hare Krishna. So this is all I wanted to share. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jais. Any questions, comments? Yes, I want to tell that. Yes, thank you. Please. Yes. Thank you. Actually, this verse, yeah, actually prediction of Prabhupada, because most sinful people can also be delivered by taking shelter of a pure devotee. So this is what we are happening. This is what is happening. We are seeing that people all over the world, from all the countries, Africa, Russia, and Prabhupada is mentioning, especially from this part of the world, you know, the eastern side, we see so many now becoming devotees just by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And that's why, as I told you, that I think times to come that, just like Jesus Christ is so famous now, Srila Prabhupada will become famous like that, as a pure devotee of the Lord. Yes. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Roshan.
Thank you,
Roshan.
I will give my question.
Hare Krishna.
The question is, when will you talk about, if you oppose to Krishna, then it's likely for you to be one of the very first.
Yeah. So this is what is a quality of a devotee, that you bring your problem to Krishna. Now what Krishna does, that is up to him. So we cannot demand Krishna that you solve my problem in this way. No, we just take our problem to Krishna. Oh Krishna, this is my problem. Whatever you think best for me, please do it. And in that way, if Krishna wants, he may do what we are thinking is best for us. But sometimes what we think is good for us may not be good for us. So let us allow Krishna to act. And then whatever Krishna does, we should have that faith that whatever Krishna is doing is good for us. That's the basic faith a devotee has or demigod has, that Krishna is my well-wisher. Bhuktaram yagyatapasam sarvalako maheshwaram surudam sarvabhutanam khyantvamam shantim richati. That Krishna is my well-wishing friend. Whatever he does will be good for me. And we approach Krishna with a problem. Oh Krishna, I am facing this problem. Please help me the way you want. Right? Like Srila Prabhupada also, in the final days, I mean, when he asked devotees to pray for him, he said, oh Krishna, if you so desire, then please cure Srila Prabhupada. Right? Yes, Prabhuji, I think that was the prayer that Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, that to pray to Krishna, that oh Krishna, if you so desire, then cure Srila Prabhupada. So even he said, you cannot demand Krishna that you know, that you make Srila Prabhupada's husband. He said, Krishna, if you so desire, this is what should be our mood, that this is my problem, now whatever you desire, Krishna, you can do with me. It's easy to say, difficult to follow sometimes, because Krishna may put us in difficult test, but we must have that faith that Krishna is ultimately acting for my own good. Just like sometimes operation may be painful, so who knows, Krishna may be sometimes doing a small surgery, small operation, but for our own benefit. Okay. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.